RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Welcome back. What a week on the track it's been for Coolmore Stud Stallions. Fastnet Rock with a Group 1 double on Saturday, Derby Day. Piero getting his first stakes winner in the Carbine Club and then backing that up with the Oaks winner in Pinot. Joining us from Coolmore this morning, Sebastian Hutch. Sebastian, what a week it's been for your stallions.
Morning, Joe. Yeah, it's been amazing. Saturday was the sort of day that you really only dream of for people who are involved in the stallion game. There were nine group races on the card, and six of them were by Coolmore-owned stallions. And obviously, Lavendi was very important for Piero. He's his first group winning colt. The group one double for Fastnet Rock was fantastic. Merchant Navy, he's obviously a very, very high-class horse, and it was a fantastic spectacle. And then, of course, to top it off, winning the Derby with Ace High by High Chaparral, it was a fantastic result as well. So, look, it's been a great week, and credit to the stallions and credit to the patrons who've been good enough to support them.
Well, let's go back to the Oaks firstly, and this is such a significant moment for the stallion Piero, with Pino getting up for the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott team.
She's a very good filly, Gay, and Adrian have long said that she's Gay declared her as the Oaks winner some time ago. And look, obviously Gay is famously optimistic about these kind of things, but she's pulled the right rein again. It looked a strong race on paper beforehand, and you know, obviously Aloisio was going to be a hard filly to beat, but the further they went, the better Pino looked yesterday, and it's very hard not to see her being capable of finding further improvement again in the autumn, given she's a 4th of November foal. It's a family that's synonymous with Coolmore because her dam, Dizelle and Grand Dam, were both bred at Coolmore and both won Group 1, so she's a 3rd generation Group 1 winner bred on the farm. It's great for Keith Biggs, Johnny Jones and Rod Russell, who bred her. They have a half-sister by Fastnet Rock to offer at Easter next year. Mm. And obviously for Fastnet, or for Piero, it's a very significant moment. It's his first Group 1 winner, and we hope it'll be the first of many, really.
Mm. And looking back, this filly was a fairly reasonable purchase at the Inglis Easter sale by comparison to what they normally fetch there. They paid $200,000 for her, and that was for the US syndicator Aaron Wellman's Eclipse Thoroughbreds. And she also runs for a partnership that includes Newgate Farm, James Bester and Kate Waterhouse.
Yeah, look, it's a powerful ownership group. James Bester was very fond of her at the sales as a yearling. He knows the family very well. He's had a lot to do with the management of Keith Biggs' stock over the years, and retained it, or took an interest in the filly. It's great, particularly for a guy like Aaron Wellman. It's his first experience of racing in Australia, and to have, you know, to have a winner of any sort is usually pretty significant, but to have a classic winner at Flemington must have been hugely rewarding for him, and hopefully it'll encourage like-minded people from that part of the world to consider participating in down here. And okay, I mean, it's a significant result in so many ways. She's the 50th Group 1 winning graduate of Coolmore Australia since 1995-96, when the farm was established as Coolmore Australia. So, like, it's a staggering run of success when you consider in the last few months alone, you're looking at horses like Winx, Mighty Boss, Tulip, Formality, they're all off the farm. So it's really been a fantastic run of success.
And the name Pino, interesting to read how that all came about. Greg Colavos, who owns Piero, named Piero after his favourite jock, Piero, and that had the link to the wine reference.
Yeah, well, look, it made sense, and it's worked out a lucky charm because, you know, Piero is obviously a fantastically lucky racehorse for Greg and Donna Colavos. And Greg, to his credit, Greg and Donna, to their credit, are still very invested in the horse, take great interest in his progress as a stallion. And Greg has been a very strong supporter of the horse with his own breeding stock. And, you know, to see their faith in the horse vindicated with Pino's win yesterday is very fulfilling for them and everybody involved in the horse and everybody at Coolmore. And probably what's most exciting about it is there's just such abundant promise for what's to come going forward. you know, Lavendi naturally looks a high-class horse, as does Tulip, but there's an abundance of prospects out of there that look very, very talented indeed. And naturally, when you're dealing with the offspring of a stallion, or the first crop offspring of a stallion, it is something of a learning curve. And as it's transpired, the progeny of Piero just seem to be getting better and better with time, probably as befits his pedigree in many respects. But we're very hopeful that this is just the tip of the iceberg with this stallion. He's now crossed the Downhill, so it's always going to be very important to us. And we think there's every possibility that when we reappraise the horse on the 1st of April or 1st of May next year, that we might be looking at something very special indeed.
And Fastnet Rock, going back to Derby Day at Flemington, producing a Group 1 double. The first leg of that was with Merchant Navy, the star colt. That's a full brother to Jolie Bay. It was a heck of a win up alongside the rails there.
Yeah, it was excellent. You know, credit to the team who managed that horse. You know, the Kieran Mars team, obviously Kieran suspended, but Aaron Purcell, you know, David Eustace in particular, who's been with the horse right from the start. People like Brian and Annabelle at Kieran's office, you know, he's been the star of their stable alongside horses like Jamaica and Aloysia for quite some time, and they've always held him in the highest regard. It looked for some time like he was going to be a Coffee of Guineas horse, and then the hard decision was made to reassess his program after a sticky run on an unusual surface in the Golden Rose. And as it transpired, it's worked out great. Mark Zahra gave the horse a very brave ride, and he was a very willing, you know, he was a very willing accomplice in the whole thing, Merchant Navy. He's bred to be a brilliant sprinter. His mother was a fantastic sprinting mare for Chris and Jane Barham, who bred Merchant Navy and are still involved in the ownership. And, you know, as breeders, for Chris and Jane, you think your chance of breeding an elite racehorse might have gone. I mean, they bred Jolie Bay to run second in the Coolmore to Nikita probably 5 years ago from memory. So to get a second bite of the cherry and it be a winning one with Merchant Navy a few years later must be tremendously fulfilling for them.
Yeah. And Fastnet Rock's 31st Group 1 winner came through in the Maya Classic, won by Shoals. She looks a real star.
She's one of the best bred fillies in the world. It's an amazing pedigree. It's a pedigree, huge portion of which actually grew or was developed and raised to Coolmore. But she's a very high-class filly, as we've all known and come to learn. It's very hard for a three-year-old filly to beat her older peers or beat their older peers in the spring, and to do so in the manner that she did. I mean, she was at Global Glamour's girth right throughout the race, and put tremendous pressure on that filly, and she eventually cracked and still had enough in reserve to repel some fairly stiff challenges late on. Anthony Friedman's done a fantastic job with her. It's a very brave call for Anthony and his team to have made to tackle older mares at this stage of the season, knowing that they potentially have a lovely filly for the autumn. But they made the right decision, and like, it's a great result for Johnson Munns and Arrowfield who own and bred her. I'm sure they're looking forward in due course to her joining their own broodmare band. But in the meantime, she looks a filly capable of winning more nice races. I mean, you'd have to think that races like the Coolmore Classic or the Legacy Stakes or those kind of races are really going to suit her nicely. And typically of the Fasted Rocks, they really enjoy their racing. You know, they're tough and sound, give their all, and she's no different, really. She's another fantastic endorsement of the qualities of the stallion.
Yeah, she sure is. And on that same day, so memorable for you, the High Chaparral legacy lived on through the Derby winner, Ace High.
Yeah, he's been a very high-class horse for some time. David Payne's been at pains to stress to everybody in Sydney that he thinks this is, or he's thought that this was a very good colt. We've really seen the best of him, stepped out of staying trips this spring. You know, he was an impressive winner of the Spring Champion Stakes, and he had a bit of a gap between runs into the Derby, and he had a pretty tricky run through the race. But really, he was dominant at the finish, and it's been a great ride for John Cordina, who's been a good patron of Coolmore for a long time, and, you know, is very, very fond of this horse, and with good reason. It's you know, it's a tough ask for those 3-year-olds to run out 2,500 metres at Flemington at this stage of their careers. And he did it with aplomb. And he might be the sort of horse that's capable of bridging the gap to wait for age, whether it's going to be in the autumn or next year as a 4-year-old. But he's a very classy sort of horse, very much in the same mould of his stallion or of his sire physically. And John's going to have a lot of fun with him.
And High Chaparral got the Melbourne Cup winner as well in Rekindling.
Yeah, that was quite astonishing, really. You know, he's a Northern Hemisphere 3-year-old. I know they've had the race in mind for him for some time, but, you know, that speed, you know, that holds true for many of the runners in the race. It takes a lot of planning to get there. And the further they went, the stronger he looked. And reading some of the press post-race, it reads like the intention is the horse might go to the Ascot Gold Cup next year. And, you know, we might see him back in Melbourne in 12 months' time as a defending champion looking to try and win the race again. I mean, it's a huge test of any horse, but particularly a 3-year-old. It's a very significant test, so full credit to the horse that he was more than capable of standing up to the task.
And the story of young Joseph O'Brien defeating his father, Aidan.
You know, we're in the midst of a season where Aidan O'Brien has broken the world record for the most number of Group 1 winners in a calendar year. And, you know, the season isn't done with yet. There's, you know, still Group 1 racing in Hong Kong, etc. But for his 24-year-old son to go and do something that his father has yet to do, despite a number of valiant attempts, is a testament to the talent of that young man. He's an incredibly likeable fellow. And obviously a very, very capable trainer. He was a very good rider. He really did tremendously well to commit as long as he did to the saddle, given his size. He's a tall chap, and you can imagine how difficult it would have been with his weight. But he's a tremendously talented horseman, as his, you know, as his family heritage would suggest he might be. And I think we're going to be hearing plenty more about him. And the encouraging thing for the marketplace here is that, having had success here, generally speaking, that encourages people to want to participate again. And, you know, year in, year out, we recognise the value of international participation in the big carnival. So hopefully Joseph will be back with the appropriate horses, be it in Sydney or Melbourne, over the next few years, and hopefully regularly from then onwards.
That's an excellent point you make there, Sebastian. So Ace High and Rekindling, importantly too, are both colts, so that augurs well for potential futures longer term at stud.
Yeah, look, it's the first thing that anybody turns to or thinks of when a colt wins a nice race. There's a huge volume of new stallions across Australia this year. It's a very competitive marketplace and an ever-evolving one. They both have pretensions to being stallions in due course, but they're owned by sportsmanlike owners. You know, Lloyd and Nick Williams are very sportsmanlike people, as is John Cordina. I'd imagine in the short term their appetite is to enjoy the pleasure of racing their horses before any significant attention is paid to considering stud careers for both of them. I mean, there's nothing to say that should they go on and be as good a horses as they look in due course, that they won't be able to establish place at stud for themselves, but there's plenty of water to go under the bridge yet.
So, Sebastian, the extraordinary success of Coolmore Stud Stallion's progeny on the track at Flemington this week would have to be unprecedented, wouldn't it?
It's unprecedented in my time here, but I'm still, I suppose, relatively new to the experience. But it was staggering to be across, or for it to have occurred across the range of stallions that it did. You know, Schwazier won the 2-year-old race in good fashion on Cup Day. You know, even Master Craftsman having a nice winner, and that filly running well again in the Oaks on Thursday, Lova Lova. You know, the breadth of the success has really been what's remarkable, and for a variety of different patrons and people. And look, they're the sort of runs of success that, you know, are fundamentally important to our business. I mean, that's what we encourage people to patronise the stallions on the strength of. Their progeny will be there when the whips are cracking in the big races. So to have that fulfilled and in a very significant manner is great for the farm. It's great for everybody here. And we're we're working hard to ensure continues to be the case. I mean, we have a host of young stallions that we're hoping go on and emulate the likes of Fastnet Rock, Schwazier, Piero. So you think, you know, and we're looking at the next generation. We've yearlings by Rubik to offer next year and Adelaide. And then the following year will be the first of the Pride of Dubai's, Vancouver's and Nonay Nevers for sale. So it's a continually evolving scale, and hopefully we continue to land on the right horses and they can continue to demonstrate their prowess as producers of elite racehorses. That's what the business is all about.
Mm. And you're all very focused. There hasn't been too much time to sit basking in the glory at Flemington. You're already back on farm in the Hunter Valley with clients wanting to look at their newly born foals.
Yeah, it's a good time of the year from that point of view. We have Magic Millions yearlings in the barn ready to be prepared or being prepared for the Magic Millions in January. We have, at this stage, 265 foals on the farm. It's a busy time of the year, as you alluded to, and we enjoy going through plans for stock with patrons and clients and establishing what they'd like to do with those animals longer term, trying to identify appropriate sales or appropriate programs to those horses with a view to achieving the right results. And that's why the success of, in particular, graduates of the farm, horses that have been foaled, raised and developed here is particularly fulfilling, because as much as the lineage of these particular horses is important, there's a huge amount of man-made influence over the whole process as well, and it's a credit to the team we have here that things have been working out so well for so long.
Sebastian, always lovely to catch up with you on Talking Horses. Thanks for joining us during this busy time, and once again, congratulations on the success for Coolmore during Cup Week, when it all really counts.
Pleasure, Joe. Really appreciate it.
That's Coolmore's Sebastian Hutch. They have enjoyed unprecedented success during Melbourne Cup Week at Flemington, winning virtually all of the majors.